Welcome back, my friend. It is ADHD, Powerful Possibilities, and today I am coming to you from a sunny, bright, and absolutely glorious autumn day in Edinburgh in Scotland. Thank you so much for the warm welcome back to the podcast last week after my long summer break, which I explained in last week's episode. And today we are going to have a look at the parts of our brain which are slightly different with ADHD, in particular, how that affects our executive functions. If you've listened for a while, you will know that I am a big fan of talking about executive functions, although research generally shows there isn't much we can do to completely change our executive functions and the strengths and challenges we experience with them. There is a lot that we can do to put scaffolding and support around them, and we can also know more about what we need. All of that and more in today's episode of ADHD Powerful Possibilities. And of course, we are going to talk about how we can support ourselves and strategies that you can put in place easily and quickly. We might think of executive functions as a project manager who is in charge of connecting all the little bits of our brain, and that is certainly one way to think about them. We might also describe them as circuits in a computer or an electrical system. There's something in that as well, but our brain is so complicated. Any of these ideas is just a simplification that makes it easier for us to grasp the really incredible things that are going on inside your head right now. I quite like the project manager idea because our executive functions have to plan, organize, think ahead, think about timings, and all of these different moving parts are kind of held together by the executive functions. The problem is that sometimes our project manager takes a little bit of a break or is distracted by a member of our team having a very difficult emotional day. Maybe they're having a hard day and they bring it to work with them. What happens then to things like our focus, our planning, our time management? All of these things are affected by this project manager. If you have ever felt like you just can't get started and you're having trouble planning a project or your time awareness is really not great, this is the episode for you. Let's start by defining what an executive function is. My go-to for any of this is Dr. Russell Barkley. He's a researcher, a scientist, kind of authority in the world really on ADHD. He's the one that communicates in a way that I really understand. But the important thing is, when he communicates something, he's got the research to back it up. He's described them as the who, what, when, and how and why circuits of your brain. You can also break them down into thinking and doing functions. They include things like flexible thinking, emotional regulation, and self-awareness or metacognition, as well as planning, organizing, time awareness, and so on. So they're really complicated. And the one that he describes as the hot circuit is your emotional regulation, because that is the big daddy. It's the one in charge. We need these to work because we use them every single day, all the time, looking after ourselves, interacting with other people, interacting with our role in life, whether that's at school, university, running a home, running a business, or all of them at once. You might like to think of executive functions as an air traffic control center. And this is one that is really good for us visual thinkers. There's a really busy airport and the air traffic control tower has got lots of different things going on at once. Everyone's monitoring their planes. They're talking at the same time. It's all going smoothly. The planes are our thoughts and actions. The difficulty is with ADHD. We might have somebody who's really distracted, who didn't get a good sleep, who's not functioning very well, and they are trying to do the same as everybody else, but they've not had enough sleep, so they can't concentrate in the same way. And you can imagine that if that happens, sooner or later, there's going to be some really unpleasant consequences. One of the really big executive functions that I struggle with, and I know other people do too, is working memory. I remember learning that your working memory contains or can contain around 7 pieces of information, which you can chunk into sections. 7 seems to be the number that most people can contain in their working active memory. But with ADHD, something strange is going on. We often try to cram in way more to our working memory than we have room for. That could be because we haven't learned how to transfer the information from our short-term to our long-term memory. It might be that we are not paying attention to visual cues because we are paying attention to the really interesting narrative and action that's going on in our head. We're jumping ahead to the future, we're worrying about missing an appointment, and we're not really making the best use of our working memory. It's one of the reasons why in a classroom, for example, if the teacher only gives students verbal instructions, their working memory is not going to have time to process all of that before the teacher moves on to something else. And it is exactly why so many of us feel overwhelmed. Even when things are great, if there's too much that we are trying to hang on to in our working memory. Some of that is because we don't filter as much as other people, and some of it is because we're not sure what to filter. That's another executive function, isn't it? The what. What do I need to attend to? So how is ADHD doing this? We come back to our old friend, the prefrontal cortex. This isn't the only part of our brain that's affected by ADHD. It's the one where many of our executive functions pass through, and there are areas throughout your brain that are all connected. Think of them as networks, but the prefrontal cortex has the most significant concentration. And when we have ADHD, there are structural differences there. A study by Castellanos in 2002 showed that people with ADHD have reduced grey matter volume in the prefrontal cortex. And that means that we literally don't have the same amount of brain matter that would allow us to do things like planning, organising, managing our emotions. For many people with ADHD, our brains do catch up, but there can be a gap of between 3 and 5 years. And for some of us, we never quite catch up because our brain has taken a B route to do a task in the meantime. And when our brains get used to doing something like that, it's harder to persuade it to take the highway when the highway is open. So when you have, for example, a teenager who is, let's say, 16, and they are supposed to be studying for exams, tidying the room, maybe having a part-time job, contributing to the household. If the parts of their prefrontal cortex that are connected to studying, planning, memory, impulse control are actually 11 or 12, they're really going to struggle. And although it's tempting to think, well, they're just not trying very hard, they're not putting the effort in, if they were really interested, this goes for adults too, if they really cared, they would remember and they would do it. They can't. Their brain literally doesn't have the volume, the material to do it. It's like trying to wallpaper a wall with, you know, 2 or 3 rows short. It's not going to look great. And this has a big impact depending on the stage of life you're at. So a lot of people with apparently inattentive ADHD, which I think is regular ADHD, but all on the inside, other people just don't notice it, they tend to get picked up later in life when the demands of the executive functions are just too big. Unfortunately, by then, they've already often internalized this idea they're just not trying hard enough. They just need the right system. They just need the right planner. Planners and systems can help. But if your brain is different, people need to be understanding and compassionate, and so do you. I remember as a teenager, I forgot to buy a newspaper for my parents every single day for about 2 years. We would drive from the borders in Scotland up to where I went to school, where they worked, and the last thing they would say to me is, pick up a paper before we meet you at the end of the day. Did I remember? No. I would say I was lucky if I remembered 5% of the time. Maybe less. Is it because I didn't care? No. My working memory just did not have that capacity. I was in school, I was studying, and there was all the emotional drama of being a teenager. So I don't want you to think that this is something I haven't experienced and don't continue to struggle with. If it's not in my calendar, if it's not on my list, it doesn't exist. And when I learned about executive dysfunction, I suddenly realized I wasn't just being lazy or careless. It was my brain. It's not that I didn't try. It just works in a really different way. It's like comparing somebody who is a marathon runner to a sprinter. They're just built different. So let's shift gears and talk about solutions. And when I say solutions, I mean supports, scaffolding. I'm definitely not suggesting supplements or magnetic devices or anything like that. But nevertheless, what can we do to support ourselves and manage these tasks that grown-ups and young people have to deal with? Now, don't sigh and roll your eyes too much. I'm going to suggest we break things down into smaller tasks. When we are struggling to get started on something, it's because what we think of as one task is actually at least 10 or 20. And it can feel overwhelming when we start to break it down, but trust me, it's going to be much more manageable when you've identified what the first really small task is. If you're still struggling, that means your first task is still too big. The secret is to make sure that you are not creating a list of 100 steps and then looking at all of them at once. This is where my favourite baby post-its come in. Write out 10 different steps and then put the first one or two in front of you and then do them. And then we take out another one and we do that. And I do mean tiny steps. Open the computer. Step one. Fantastic. And give yourself a celebration for that. We talked last week about micro goals and celebration. Literally, you need to do this for so many things until your brain gets the confidence and habituation that gets used to doing these things more regularly. It's not that we can't do the whole thing. It's not that we don't know all the steps. But when we look at one big project as a solid thing, we feel emotionally overwhelmed. And remember, that hot circuit is going to override all the other ones. I'm going to come to the amygdala in a couple of weeks because I want to come back to the amygdala hijack. I have learned some things that I am really happy to share with you and that I think will change how you think about it too. But for now, let's assume that your emotional overwhelm means even starting the task is just going to feel impossible. So let's scroll on our phones a bit more. So the small task isn't to kind of patronize you in any way. It's just to get around the side of that emotional overwhelm. The next thing that's going to help you with your executive functions and support is finding the right kind of planner or system or schedule for you. Now, my Function Junction course talks a lot about processing modalities and executive functions and how you can join them together. But when I say find a system that works for you, you ought to think, am I somebody who's very visual? Do I need to see it in front of me? Hint, that is me completely. And the reason it works for so many of us is it has several roles at once. First of all, we are using our physical, our kinesthetic processing when we write things down. It's why computer calendars are brilliant. But actually the physical task of creating that memory, that word, communicates with your brain in a different way. And it says, this is important, pay attention. And the second reason that writing in planners and visual schedules and things work is because our visual processing is generally the fastest and the most easily accessible for most of us. Where people go wrong is when they try things like time blocking or color schedules and everything gets jammed up. I want to see big gaps, big areas of white space in your planner. I want things to be flexible so that you can move them around. The visual cue as an external prompt is important. We can look at it outside of ourselves. But if we look at something like a planner and all we see is a wall of activities and tasks and colours, guess what? We're back to our friend overwhelm and our executive functions say, that looks hard. But it's important to give yourself space when you're using any kind of planner or system because we need flexibility. We need to breathe and take account of the fact that we are humans who have variable capacity and energy. The third system we can lean into is one of mindfulness. I know many people enjoy meditation and mindfulness. Even people with ADHD who have managed to persist tell me that it is wonderful for them. Bravo. For many of us, it's simply a question of remembering to ground ourselves in our body in the present moment and not jumping too far ahead, not dwelling in the past. And that's all it has to be. But the more often we can be present and mindful, it does actually change your brain. There's a meta-analysis from 2016 that Vihoff did where he looked at the effectiveness of mindfulness and other kind of CBT type programs on emotional regulation and ADHD. Generally effective. And the reason is because mindfulness helps us to stay in the moment and then make the decision about what to do next. Quite often, we're already past the next thing we need to do and into the one after that. If you're a political strategist, that's fantastic. If you're just somebody trying to organize your life, it's no wonder you feel overwhelmed. I talk in Function Junction about using all of these different tools in a way that works for you. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the episode. And the last strategy I want to talk about today is accountability. I don't like that word for many reasons. Lots of the people I work with who have ADHD have a bit of demand avoidance, not in a diagnosable way, but in a way that we need to know that we are in charge. We need autonomy, agency. It's really important. And when people sign up for accountability coaching, they're giving that to somebody else. And eventually, 9 times out of 10, I think we're going to end up resenting that person. Not as a person, but because we recognize that we've given our power away again. We've given our control away to somebody else. However, it can be really helpful to know that somebody else is on your side. Somebody else is supporting you with the changes that you have chosen to make. By getting past some of the executive function challenges like planning and working memory and just remembering to do something every day. But it doesn't have to be a coach. It could be another friend. It could be your partner. It could be somebody at work or at university. The important thing is that at all times, the communication is one of equals and partners, rather than somebody checking up on you and making sure you have done what you were supposed to do. So we have looked at our executive functions and we've compared them to project managers, air traffic control centers, you name it. There are lots of different ways to think about it. But what matters is that you learn what your executive function profile is like. And you can now do that using my Function Junction course. It is something you can come back to time and time again. And in that, you will also find lots of ideas for tools and strategies and systems that you can use and adapt. It's normally something that I only offer my one-to-one clients. And I decided, do you know what? It's really important. I know when I thought about what are my executive function profiles, how do I combine that with my processing modalities? Suddenly things began to get easier. Not all the time, not every single day, but I also understood why some things just did not work. So if you're ready to take action, you can check the link for my Function Junction course. You will also find access to it from my website, and I cannot wait to start hearing back from you about how you got on and what strategies you are using from your unique recipe. And if you found this episode helpful, valuable, if you had a little gem that you want to take away from it today, I would be so grateful if you could leave a review or if you could share it with somebody else. As always, stay curious, stay powerful, and take care of yourself.